But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the President-elect's colonizer shopping spree. Move on to America officially electing a felon to run the country. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, The TikTok Ban Was Always About the Content, Stupid. Let's begin, shall we? Well, America got back together with their ex, who should be in prison, and we'll get to that in a little bit. For now, at least two things we know for sure. Number one, the 2024 election was certified in less time than it took a Domino's delivery driver to give you your pizza in 1980. And no one smeared the walls of the Capitol with their own shit during the process. And number two, 54-year-old House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries had a speech after the 2024 election certification that has everyone thinking maybe Jeff needs to add a little fiber to his diet?
Who apparently believe that the freedom of economic opportunity that made them wealthy should not apply to everyone else. Our message to that crowd is simple. Democrats will never abandon the long walk toward freedom. We will fight hard to defend the freedom of opportunity that makes the American dream possible. We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.
Listen, dude, I get that a man your age should probably be taking long walks to loosen up whatever you've got going on down there. But rather than weave your gut bubbles into a conversation about democracy, how about you just take it easy on the carbonated beverages and stay away from spicy food? Or perhaps it's the geriatric fascism that we all witnessed without consent that's got Jeff's tummy all rumbly. And when I say without consent, I mean the poorly educated choice for president's announcement that he'd be bringing colonization back instead of lowering the price of eggs. Starting with concepts of a plan to annex Canada and the Panama Canal, and then there's the rebranding of the Gulf of Mexico.
To the renaming of the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of America. That is very specifically what Donald Trump said he would do.
And we're going to be announcing at a future date pretty soon. We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
The next day.
Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum was asked about it in her daily briefing today. Came back with her own suggestion for what this body of water could be renamed as.
Obviously, the name Gulf of Mexico is recognized by the United Nations, by a United Nations agency. Why don't we call it Mexican America? It sounds nice, right? Since 1607, the Constitution of Apatzingan referred to it as Mexican America. We're going to call it Mexican America. It sounds beautiful, right? And the Gulf of Mexico has been recognized internationally since 1607 as well.
And the moral of this story is, do not fuck with Claudia. She'll bust out the map of North America's Old West when it was still territory of Mexico, before the white illegal immigrants refused to leave and started a war that resulted in the mistake known as Texas. And not for nothing, but when Claudia says the Gulf of Mexico has been the Gulf of Mexico since 1607, she's referring to the fact that the body of water has been the Gulf of Mexico longer than the United States of America has been a thing. And the over-bronze gourd should respect his elders. But since the poorly educated number one choice for ending America's 245-year-old experiment in democracy doesn't give a shit about respect, the colonizer shopping spree continues. And the next item in Comb-over Caligula's cart is Greenland, a part of the world that the disinfotainment peddlers on Fox Not a News Channel are literally salivating over the thought of controlling almost as much as they want to tell Canada and Panama what to do.
Going on a shopping spree. He's got his eye on a country, an island, and a canal.
If you look at Greenland, for example, if the people there are being treated horribly, I would bet the people would probably vote for an alliance with the U.S.
Canada does seem ripe for the picking.
His argument about the Panama Canal is long overdue.
You better bet we are absolutely going to change the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
The fact that they don't want to become part of America makes me want to make them.
Well, 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 it sounds to me like Jesse Waters is ready to take his Patrick Bateman persona to the next level and might start slashing Canada's tires so they'll have to ask him for a ride home. Because that's how married psychopaths meet 26-year-olds that they cheat on their wives with. Why not use the same method when taking over a country? Am I right? I mean, Canada's got a lot of things America's first overcooked dictator would want. I mean, precious minerals and metals, 10% of the world's oil reserves, and renewable water sources. And then there is Greenland, a place of rare earth minerals that make semiconductors and electronics work. And that would really come in handy, you know, now that China is refusing to share theirs with the United States because the Dollar Tree dictator wants to impose tariffs, not to mention if China or Russia want to shoot ballistic missiles at the United States, they'd have to go over the Arctic and Greenland would see them coming a mile away. So it should come as no surprise to anyone that Eric's dad sent his other son on an exploration mission to the land of ice and snow. Roll tape.
It's a MAGA invasion of Greenland. Donald Trump Jr. and a band of Trump loyalists landed on Greenland today to promote the president-elect's dream of turning the vast, frigid island into the 51st state.
I mean, essentially, it's a large real estate deal.
No, we're not meeting any politicians here, so that's not on the schedule. We're just here as tourists.
Don Jr. handed out MAGA hats and got his dad on the phone to address a group of locals at a restaurant in the capital, Nuuk.
We're going to treat you well.
Trump doubled down. He really wants Greenland, and he's not ruling out military action or economic pressure in Greenland or the Panama Canal.
Can you assure the world that as you try to get control of these areas, you are not going to use military or economic coercion?
No, I can't assure you. You're talking about Panama and Greenland. No, I can't assure you on either of those two.
Yeah, and I can't say I'm surprised that the fanta-fascist would use military to invade a sovereign country. But what does shock the fuck out of me is how the corporate media did zero fact-checking on Genghis Khan Jr.'s photo op in Greenland. For example, according to DR Reports, the Danish news broadcaster who accompanied Cocaine Don on his colonizer excursion, homeless Greenlanders were used as props, promised luxury hotel stays and expensive meals if they pretended to be Trump supporters in front of the cameras. They dressed them up like MAGA in their couture and even posed for staged pictures in a restaurant in Greenland's capital. But if you ask me, the only reason Donnie Sniffles agreed to take this trip in the first place was the chance to hang out with a Maglodon named Timmy Zeep, or as he's known locally, as the convicted and quite violent drug dealer who escaped from a Danish prison once, got caught a few years later, and then sentenced to 4 more years. And according to Timmy, being a felon does not preclude his ability to have an opinion on being colonized by America's first convicted felon for president. It just means that they have another thing in common. Not that King Baby Coward didn't try his hardest not to become a convicted felon before occupying the White House a second time.
Breaking news involving President-elect Trump's hush money case in Manhattan. We just learned the judge has set a sentencing date.
Judge Mershon scheduled a sentencing for January 10th, just 10 days before Trump's inauguration.
President-elect Trump is asking the Supreme Court to halt his sentencing in the New York hush money case. Now his attorneys argue sentencing him would damage the institution of the presidency.
For an emergency stay of Friday's sentencing hearing, writing this court should enter an immediate stay of further proceedings in the New York trial court to prevent grave injustice and harm to the institution of the presidency and the operations of the federal government. The way Trump sees things, immunity that is afforded to presidents should extend to him as president-elect. And if the Supreme Court agrees, it would represent an expansion of that immunity doctrine.
Still a blemish on the president-elect's record. He does not want to enter office as the first president to be a convicted felon.
Oh no! The guy who was found guilty by a jury of his peers on 34 counts of cooking his financial record so hard, I'm surprised Gordon Ramsay hasn't weighed in on this, doesn't want to be known as a convicted felon? So in the city that never sleeps, Judge Juan Mershon let it be known he was finally going to be sentencing the tiny-handed grifter 8 months after he was convicted. And for some mentally ill reason, Fat Nixon thought he wouldn't actually become a convicted felon until after he was sentenced. Like the jury's verdict back in May of last year didn't do the trick. Nonetheless, this career criminal appealed to any New York court who would listen to his geriatric excuse for why his sentencing should be indefinitely delayed, and thankfully got nowhere. So Orange Felonious made a desperate attempt at saving his ass type of phone call to one of his favorite jesters over on the Supreme Disaster.
ABC News has exclusively learned that Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has spoken directly to President-elect Donald Trump and recommended one of his former law clerks for a job in Trump's new administration. Less than 24 hours after they spoke, Trump's attorneys asked the court to block Trump's sentencing in the criminal hush money case set for Friday.
We asked for a statement from Justice Alito, and he confirmed the conversation. What he said is that a former law clerk had asked if he would take a call from President Trump to talk about his qualifications, and that President Trump made the call to Justice Alito on Tuesday afternoon. Justice Alito in that statement said that they did not speak about this emergency stay that would then be filed just hours later. But needless to say, highly unusual to hear about a president-elect having a conversation with a Supreme Court justice about anything, really, just hours before that president-elect is filing an emergency motion before the Supreme Court on a personal matter.
Why, you don't say? A criminal is criming? Mine Incompetent files an emergency stay of his sentencing after his convo with one of the maggotiest jokers on the bogus SCOTUS, of course, with a little quid pro quo. See, the president agrees to hire Sammy's law clerk for the incoming excuse for an administration, and the slop father can count on his vote in favor of delaying a convicted felon's sentencing. Which Sam did, by the way. Unfortunately, Chief Joker Roberts and Amy the Karen Barrett sided with what reason is still left on the court in a 5-4 decision to let the sentencing begin. And while the very public humiliation was quite satisfying to witness, what happened next took all the wind out of my sails.
Let's impose sentence, please.
Donald Trump, you're before the court for sentence following your conviction by trial to 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree.
After careful analysis, in obedience to governing mandates, and pursuant to the rule of law, this court has determined that the only lawful sentence that permits entry of a judgment of conviction without encroaching upon the highest office in the land is an unconditional discharge, which the New York State Legislature has determined is a lawful and permissible sentence for the crime of falsifying business records in the first degree. Therefore, at this time, I impose that sentence to cover all 34 counts. Sir, I wish you Godspeed as you assume your second term in office.
So what the actual fuck, Mershon? We were all ready with popcorn and snacky snacks for this hearing, and you show up with some unconditional discharge bullshit? Like we weren't all there for this orange-tinted turd's conviction on 34 felony counts of lying, defrauding, and generally being a piece of white shit covered in brown paint. But hey, anything for the office of the presidency, right? Never mind that on January 20th, an adjudicated rapist who can now add convicted felon to his list of titles will be sworn in as America's 47th mistake. It's about impeding on a man's ability to be president that makes serving jail time for his crimes just way too much to ask for. But the optics of America's first felon president, well, that's just something the shining city on a hill is going to have to deal with. And by the way, it was optics, the traffic cone of treason was stress-eating 10-piece buckets over, that compelled him to call his SCOTUS scum friend for a favor that didn't help him in the end, but maybe that's enough of a silver lining to get us all through the depressing realization that jail is really just for people who live paycheck to paycheck. And fake billionaires can use the presidency to get out of sitting in a 4x6 as long as the judge's slap on the wrist is acceptable to the prosecution. Meanwhile, on the last season of the United States of America, some of the Tangerine Tyrant's favorite companies are kissing his 78-year-old ass.
McDonald's is the latest major company to roll back some of its diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. The Golden Arches is not abandoning all diversity initiatives, but says it will retire specific goals, ending a supply chain DEI pledge, pausing participation in surveys from external groups, and no longer setting what it calls representation targets.
Amazon Prime announced a new documentary on the incoming and former First Lady Melania Trump.
Amazon was paying a pretty head-scratching $40 million to license and stream a vanity documentary about Melania Trump.
It will be directed by Brett Ratner, which is the filmmaker's first major project since 2017. You might recall he was accused of sexual misconduct by numerous women and has denied those allegations.
Because nothing says career comeback after immigrating to Israel because no one would hire you after six women credibly accused you of sexual harassment and other disgusting things than making a biopic about a woman who's married to a man that was credibly accused by dozens of women for grabbing their pussies. And another thing, penis-shaped Bezos already donated $1 million to the Trump Inauguration Fund back in December, but I guess maybe that wasn't enough. So in the not-so-distant future, Prime Video subscribers will have a based-on-completely-made-up-events movie about a woman who gives no shit about Christmas. Meanwhile, the UTI-like burning question on everyone's mind is, what the fuck is happening with Mark Zuckerberg?
Meta is overhauling its fact-checking programs. The changes, rather, will end the current system and adopt a series of community notes, kind of content moderation that is similar to what is used on X. This will apply to posts on Instagram, Threads, and Facebook, and comes along with changes that will scrap an option for users to limit the amount of political content on their feeds.
They're getting rid of third-party fact-checkers, and they're putting the responsibility more on the users to identify what content needs context. Is not true. That's something that Elon Musk has instituted on X.
To the extent that they are going to have people working for Facebook policing content, they are moving out of California, those people in that department, to the state of Texas.
Meta also plans to get rid of restrictions on topics like immigration and gender. This is all happening less than 2 weeks before President-elect Trump is sworn in. And as Zuckerberg and some of these other tech titans look to be making inroads with the incoming administration.
In a video posted by Meta, dressed like any white dude who just got back from a Justin Timberlake concert, Marky Mark the Zuck announced that his company is going to abandon their quest for technological innovation in favor of copying the platform of their competitor. Because that makes so much sense. Who wants to become the biggest name in social media when you can just ride the coattails of the president's explosive new South African roommate? That and the threat that Von Krapps and Pampers made a while back to jail Facebook's Jerry Curled leader for the fact-checking that he did in the past.
Donald Trump is threatening Meta's Mark Zuckerberg with jail time. The former president took to Truth Social, quote, "Our whole voting system is under siege. All I can say is that if I'm elected president, we will pursue election fraudsters at levels never seen before, and they will be sent to prison for long periods of time. We already know who you are. Don't do it, Zuckerbucks. Be careful."
6 months later.
Is a huge tech and media company yielding to Donald Trump's demands, ousting fact-checkers, crediting Trump's election victory, and taking an unusual step of adding a Trump loyalist to its board. So what's changed? The president-elect, was asked, I should say, and then he answered on this very question during the press conference on his View Today.
Do you think he's directly responding to the threats that you have made to him in the past?
Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Flip-flop Mark decided to give the broke-ass billionaire $1 million, just like Bezos, for his inauguration fund, remove the fact-checking on his platform so the Big Lebowski could post any stupid thought that comes to him during his 3 a.m. trip to the classified documents room, bathroom. And what else would you give the guy who's clocked over 30,000 lies in his first excuse for a presidency? It's about reframing disinformation. It's got to be. And in the reframing of what disinformation actually is, we're going to take that word out and we're just going to say free speech. Am I right, Zach?
Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, announcing a commitment to free speech online and a shift away from censoring all of us.
And that's why it's been so difficult over the past 4 years when even the U.S. government has pushed for censorship. By going after us and other American companies, it has emboldened other governments to go even further. But now we have the opportunity to restore free expression, and I am excited to take it.
The company admitting that they were pressured into it over the last 4 years under the Biden administration.
They resisted calls from many of us for years to join Elon Musk. It would be great if Zuckerberg could join Musk and create this powerful alliance for free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And to think all Zucky Stooge needed was the thought of a U.S. president sicking the DOJ on him to convince him that lying and spreading conspiracy theories is the exact same thing as exercising your right to free speech. Because why have one cesspool of poorly educated incels thinking white supremacy is going to get them dates when you could have two or three or maybe even four of them? Under the Meta Corporation, you've got Facebook, Insta, and the Musky knockoff Threads. Now just add the disaster formerly known as Twitter, and there's the four social media sites of the apocalypse. And when you know it, just as the Legion of Social Media Doom is getting everything set up, here comes the aging hags and technologically inept members of the bogus SCOTUS to decide the fate of their biggest rival, TikTok.
Supreme Court justices today grilling the lawyers trying to save social media giant TikTok. Representatives for the company arguing that the law requiring TikTok to sever its ties to China or cease operations in the U.S. by January 19th violates free speech protection. But the Justice Department insists with its ties to China, TikTok, which has 170 million American users, poses a national security threat. TikTok's lawyer insisting,
"We absolutely resist any kind of content manipulation by China at all."
Am I right that the algorithm is the speech here?
Yes, Your Honor. It's basically how we predict what our customers want to see.
You know, I'm just wondering whether this is like somebody's attachment to
an old article of clothing. I mean, I really love this old shirt because I've been wearing this old shirt, but I could go out and buy something exactly like that. But no, I like the old shirt. Is that what we have here?
No, Grandpa Alito, that is not what we have here. See, this is the exact reason why we need to get out the dinosaurs and the bribable douchebags. Get them far away from our government, every single branch. Because first off, if Meta or Muskrat South Africa could have replicated TikTok's algorithm, they would have done it already. Because they've been trying to. Meta has implemented short video content with filter options, copied TikTok's FYP, even uses the comments and watch times to assume what they think their viewers might want to see again. And yet, Facebook and Insta have failed miserably because people react negatively to the uncanny valley, a concept any T-800 should be able to understand, you would think. What SCOTUS doesn't understand, because most of them were, I don't know, going to law school when the internet didn't exist, is that it's the content. We're talking about content. We're not talking about national security. We're not talking about algorithms. We're talking about the content. For exposition purposes, folks, let's go back to the long ago time of the time after the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas, because that's where this all started. It was about the content back then, too. Okay, so Israel decides to rain U.S.-supplied hell on the Palestinian people after October 7th because they claimed Hamas was hiding under hospitals, entire apartment complexes, and even under the kitchen sink. Normally, the American public just goes along with the narrative that Israel has the right to defend itself. But thanks to TikTok, we all saw the tens of thousands of innocent people being genocided right out of existence in the name of Israel's self-preservation. Americans suddenly and were no longer under the unconditional side of Israel and demanded a ceasefire to stop the relocation by murder of Palestinians from Gaza, so that Israel could build a port of commerce where 2 million people once called home. And that, my friends, is when the United States government, both Republican and Democrat, knew they fucked up and decided to Russian doll a ban on the app to prevent the American public from controlling the narrative ever again. Or, as the once and replaced senator of Mormonland, Mitt Romney, once said out loud.
Why has the PR been so awful? Why has Hamas disappeared in terms of public perception? The world is screaming about Israel. It's like, why aren't they screaming about Hamas? Typically, the Israelis are good at PR. What's happened here? How have they and we been so ineffective at communicating the realities there and our point of view? Some wonder why there was such overwhelming support for us to shut down potentially TikTok. If you look at the postings on TikTok and the number of mentions of Palestinians relative to other social media sites, it's overwhelmingly so among TikTok broadcasts. So I know that's of real interest, and the president will get the chance to make action in that regard.
Thanks again, Mitt Romney, for saying the quiet part out loud, because right now we all needed a little refresher. Especially the government's lawyers who said with their full chest that the TikTok ban has nothing to do with content and everything to do with an existential threat of data collection that TikTok poses against the American people in favor of China. Now, data is collected by Meta, by Elon Musk's internet escapades, and nearly every fucking website on the internet. The same data that results in seeing 6 months of adverts on Facebook when you looked up an item that you might have been interested in buying, but you're probably not going to and you never did, but still, they remind you. And if you do buy it, you're still going to see those ads anyway, because if you bought it once, you might do it again. The same data that all social media platforms sell to third-party brokers, where theoretically, China could buy it outright without ever going through the trouble of calling up Meta or getting it from them or TikTok or any other social media content. That includes our online friends and contacts, by the way. And TikTok does the same thing the rest of them do, except TikTok was instrumental in providing their users with video of real events without having it curated by the corporate news. TikTok allows people to share ideas, organize, speak their minds in a way no other platform has ever done and probably can ever do. And if the US government has its way, won't ever do again. Because what you don't know, you don't know. And that's how the government prefers its citizens. Oh, and before I go, let's not forget the TikTok ban was the brainchild of the Democrats and the Republicans who need to be primaried out of their seat for voting to silence American speech they do not like and using the guise of national security to justify their actions. Because if you're old enough to remember that there were no WMDs found in Iraq, then you're old enough to know they will lie to you, so you'll go along with whatever they want to do. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media, platforms like Blue Sky or wherever else you can find us. We're always available for your listening pleasure on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, wherever you listen to podcasts. We want to thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-dir for now.